Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Gleirchorcha, agus Fáltaruff, you have tuned in to Capital Irish on Access Radio, which we are broadcasting on FM 106.1 FM. We come to you every Sunday and midday, and we bring you news about Ireland, Irish things happening here in New Zealand, and anything of interest, new visitors from Ireland who might pop in, which we have today. And just to quickly bring you up to speed on what's happening. By the way, I'm Alice Paul. I'm one of 10 presenters. There's 10 of us who come each week. One of us comes each week. Everybody has a different take on the program. So that makes it really interesting. Some people are really into the music, other people into the history, but it's just great. But without our sponsors, we certainly wouldn't be able to come to you. So we have a wonderful group of sponsors, Susie and Peter McGuinness of the well-renowned McGuinness family here in Wellington, builders. We have the Hutt Valley Irish Society, who have been our greatest supporters for many years, and the Wellington Trust. And without these sponsors, of course, as you well know, it takes money to run the things. So please give them your support if you ever see them around. And news from the newspapers in Ireland. And the one thing I would like to tell you about before we introduce our guests is just the quarantine requirements have changed this week. So the Cabinet approved new quarantine requirements for passengers arriving from Ireland into Ireland from Britain. So previously it was quarantining at home for 5 days, but now that has gone up to 10 days. And then they'll need to have another COVID test after that. So vaccines are going well in Ireland, and they have got to the age group of the 30 to 39. So we've a wee bit of catching up to do here. But that's okay. We're in a nice, safe place, so we can wait. And the other thing that happened in Ireland this week was there were thousands of people protesting about mica. It's a mineral that it's found in rock. It's quarried from rock and was used in building a lot of houses in the west of Ireland, Donegal, Mayo and that, during the time of the Celtic Tiger. And some of these houses have started crumbling. What happens is some moisture gets into the blocks and they just disintegrate. So I saw it on a YouTube clip the other day. These people were just touching these blocks and they were just crumbling in front of them. So it's quite scary. But Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, is promising to redress them by 100%. So let's hope these poor people who've spent all their money on building grand big houses that are crumbling down around them can get some recompense for that. So that's enough chat about Ireland. Today, I'm very appreciative of a lovely couple who have come into the studio. And they have a very interesting story because they have come to New Zealand for a year in the middle of the whole lockdown business. And a warm, warm welcome to Bernadette Quealy from County Clare and to Billy O'Connell, who's originally from Cahersiveen, but living in County Clare. A warm, warm welcome. Bernadette, I'll just ask you to give us a wee rundown to start with. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Milltown Malbay, but I met Billy in London. I'm a nurse and Billy is a doctor. And so we met in London and we had we went to live in Africa after getting married for 2 years. Wow. And we moved back to Ireland then in 87. We had our second child and then a job came up in my hometown, Milltown Malbay, and Billy set up, got practice there in 88.
Wow.
So we've been there since in 95. We took a little adventure to Australia. And then coming up to Christmas this year, both of us were retiring.
So you look too young to be retiring.
We would have one final. I mean, for about a year and a half or 2 years before this, Billy's up every night at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning researching, looking at jobs. I think we went, one stage we were in Malaysia and then we went to South America. So I would wake up in the morning and say, where are we going now? but anyway, I think it narrowed down to New Zealand. This is before COVID.
Okay.
So, and then when COVID arrived, we weren't quite sure what was going to happen, but we had the, you know, we had set the wheels in motion. So yes, it did come through about a week before we flew here. We finally got our visa in March. Yeah. And we arrived into the country on the 13th of March this year and straight into MIQ.
Quarantine. Wow. In
Auckland. I mean, you don't know where you're going until you get off the plane. So we were shepherded off the plane onto a bus, and then the military come in and tell you that you're going to this quarantine area, which up to that, you know you're going, but it doesn't, the realisation doesn't hit you until suddenly all choices and all freedom is taken away.
Amazing, yes.
And you go into a room. And because it was Saturday, we had loads of tests to get that to that stage. We had loads of COVID tests. But because it was Saturday on the day of our arrival, we had another COVID test, a PCR test, which has to go to the lab. And the result of that wouldn't be back till the Monday. So when we closed the door in our hotel room on the Saturday, on a sunny Saturday afternoon, we didn't get out again till 4 o'clock on the Monday.
Yes.
So that was...
That's a long time.
It is scary.
It is, actually. In a new country, and luckily you have mobiles and
well, afterwards,
computers.
We both admitted that we had... Billy had been looking for planes, flights to get me out of the place because I just went into... I went into shock.
Bit of shock, yeah. I can imagine that. It's almost like a claustrophobia.
Absolutely. And I wanted to blame him.
Yeah.
For bringing me here.
Well, of course.
But actually, it was my choice as well. But, you know, it was very difficult. Probably, as an adult, it's probably the hardest thing. Having never been in jail, and I never want to be.
No.
But that's the closest thing, I think,
that's right.
Never being in jail.
Actually, it's funny you should say that, because during our small lockdown here last year, I kept thinking that, you know, this isolation must be part of a punishment that people in jail feel, because you don't see or chat with other human beings. It's quite weird.
Well, when we've been in lockdown in Ireland, you know, various different stages, but we had been in quite a severe lockdown since Christmas Eve.
Yes, that's right.
And that was so much easier. Living in the west of Ireland, you're free to walk. We were able to walk up to 5 kilometres
a day. Yes, beautiful walks.
Travel. So I never actually felt that bad about it.
No.
Apart from the normal things of no shops
or
no restaurants or going into a pub. But because you're out and you're free to do things, I didn't feel as bad. Nothing compares to being in MIQ.
That is unreal. That's the first time I've actually spoken to somebody who's been in MIQ. So it's an interesting...
They're very nice. I mean, you know, the military,
of course,
with their guns, they do smile at you, but they're still there with their guns.
You weren't going to climb a wall.
And our windows couldn't open.
Oh, no. That's because some people had stolen out them during...
Well, I think it was just the layout of the hotel. It was a commercial hotel, which normally you book into, you stay 24 hours and you're gone, and you don't notice.
That's right.
But when it becomes your home for 2 weeks...
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you just can't open a window and breathe fresh air when you want to.
That is so, yeah. It is, for a claustrophobic person, it would be a nightmare.
And I would be a little bit.
Yes.
Much more than I thought I was.
Yeah. Interesting experience. And just to get from you, Billy, you got the job in, I know, Wainuiomata. Had you ever heard of Wainuiomata before?
No.
Never.
A long, long way from clear to here, as the song goes. Yeah, I think I was talking to my, going through an agency, and we started in Invercargill and worked our way up.
Oh, my goodness.
So then I knew that Bernadette's cousin was in Wellington.
That's right.
Bridget Bazzallo, yeah.
And had you visited her? You had visited her?
No, I'd never.
I had.
So then I knew that was going to be a great bonus for us when we came here, which was wonderful. And then, you know, as I got talking to the agency about Wanui, and it was a sort of a unique clinic with, a big Maori population.
This is
going to be really interesting from a cultural point of view.
Yeah.
And like it is, it's fantastic.
Is it?
You know, it really is. It's great place to be. People are warm, they're sort of very welcoming, you know,
that's
and
great.
The culture is so strong, which has bowled me over, and they are so proud of what's happening, you know. And I suppose coming from Ireland and we trying to, you know, with our music and language, you know,
that's
similar
right.
situations. So it's really interesting.
Good on you, that's great, because the socioeconomic group would have been quite different for you if you had worked, say, in a really upmarket place in Auckland. And it's much more the real experience if you can, you know, you're doing two jobs at the same time.
Two jobs, and that was a few. So several doctors came at the same time, so we're having the same experience.
Marvellous.
And it's really working well. And
they love you from Ireland. They love
Irish
people.
Yeah, well, you know, when we came there, we got the full experience. We were brought to the different.
Pofery.
To all the Mariahs, etc. To meet all the people there. So it was very special.
Yes, and very warm people.
Yes.
People, and they're so like ourselves.
Very like ourselves.
Very
you know,
similar
and love
culture.
The singing and the music and of course the sport. Where so
I know,
just phenomenal.
I really respect
wise.
That.
Yeah.
That's well. I know through my son Jerry that you're both connected with music as well, and Bernadette, you'd talked about Tommy McCarthy.
Unfortunately, we're not musicians, but.
Doesn't
I grew
matter.
Up in a pub, a traditional Irish music pub,
right?
Where Willie Clancy would have been singing to me as a child.
Really?
But I always feel that one of my big regrets is that I didn't learn to play music, but then someone had to be the audience.
I know. Exactly. Can you sing?
No, I don't sing. I dance.
You dance.
My
good
father
was
a great set dancer, and I'm a you know, pretty good set dancer.
Great. I was
and
watching
I love it.
Some of the set dancing when you recommended the Kilfenora Kelly Band.
Yes.
And I thought the set dancing on that was just magnificent.
And that's
thought,
when
I'd
love
to
the
be
sound.
Able to do that.
I think it was through a radio station, or RT years and years ago, Saturday Night Kelly House, that they introduced the idea of bringing dancing in with the music. And it really lifted. They didn't think it was going to work.
And it did.
But I think from an audience, if you're listening, it just... All Irish music makes me want to go up and dance. But definitely when you hear the clap of the feet on the ground, it makes a difference.
It's fantastic. Well, why don't we kick straight in and get Doug O'Sullivan, who's our technical expert today, to fire up some Kilfenora Kelly Band.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That was a great dancing tune, and Bernadette will be up dancing if she was in Ireland, up in her father. What was your father's pub's name?
Queely's Pub on the Ennis Road.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Probably have been there many years ago. You never know.
Well, if you were at the Willie Clancy Week in Milton, you definitely were in that pub.
I didn't ever get to the Willie Clancy, but I know Jerry did.
Yes. Yeah. It was one of, there was a few, you know, of the older pubs.
Yeah.
Like Friel's, our pub, and Cleary's pub up the Innis Diamond Road would have been, and Hennessy's pub.
The pubs.
The older pubs.
Yeah. Well, Bernadette, we were just talking earlier about, you know, the decision to just drop everything in Ireland and Billy retiring, and you thought to yourselves, let's have a bit of an adventure. But you had done previous adventures as well. So what makes you different from everybody else, the pair of you, to be able to do that? Because most people retire at home and they sit back and they play golf or they do things.
We've always travelled. We've lived in Africa. As I said, in 1995, we came to live in Townsville in Australia.
Yeah.
The year Claire won the All-Ireland. Everyone thinks because we left, they won. I think we were just at a good stage in our life. We were healthy.
Mm. And by the way, you, Bernadette and Billy had been fully vaccinated before they came to New Zealand. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been allowed in, of course, to work as a doctor or to come for a year. So that's,
But also, we have four children.
Have you?
So the oldest lives in Berlin and the next in Laos.
Yeah.
And he's, poor guy, he's still in quarantine since Christmas. And then we've a third son in Dublin. And then our youngest son is just finishing university in Galway. So they were pretty much done for.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't need you around.
No, they didn't need us. And all our parents had died. So we didn't have that.
Mm.
I wouldn't have left.
No.
So we have this little window of opportunity and no grandchildren that we know of yet. So, so it was a good time.
It's a perfect time, isn't it? Yeah. And did you realise, Billy, when you applied for the job, the demographics and the geographical location of this place that you were going to, Wainuiomata?
I did to a point. The address is the Strand in Wanui. You know, I thought I'd be sitting outside
by the sea.
When the sea was to the right, we turned to the left. I said, "Oh." But no, apart from that, you know, it's, you know, everyone that lives there just say how much they love it, and you have a lot of people having been there all their working lives, and a lot of people that came from overseas, from Ireland and Scotland
and Holland,
there's quite a few, but like they all speak so fondly of Wanui and Hutt, you know, so like it's a special place.
Yeah.
But I had a good idea where I was coming to, and obviously, there's always a few challenges getting used to a new system, new computers. Yeah,
I know.
But like the people, you know, especially the staff were just lovely, and the patients, you know, were just so welcoming, and
So you had your own practice at home, and you've just said you just sold it and that. And I'm not going to ask you to compare one practice to another, but is it vastly different what you're doing to what you did at home, or fundamentally,
like when you're dealing with people, you know, and you know, it's a special job, like any form of medicine, you being a nurse yourself, you know, the bond is immediate, you know, like people are vulnerable sometimes, you know, and they come in with sad situations, and you know, you're there often just listening, so whatever. You know, it is your ear and your expressions that are more important than your nationality. So if you can listen, people are happy, and you know, well, it helps a lot. And you know, obviously the facilities, the hospital facilities are very good here, and you know, the referral systems are good. So there's a lot very good here,
and quite different. Things.
There's a lot of positive things.
Because you see, when you listen to the news every day, you think that we are in a really bad situation with our health system. But in fact, I always say, well, if you go to another country, it's going to be twice as bad.
So every country you go to, I think education and health.
That's right. And poor Jacinta Ardern, no matter what, she could drop pots of gold on the country and everybody would still be complaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's quite a hard one, that one. Yeah, well... What did the family, any of them going to come and visit you? Well, that's a bit hard because of COVID, but coming to visit
They did. I mean, they really wanted to come, but it doesn't look like it. Almost all of them are vaccinated. We had hoped our son in Laos would be able to come, But I don't think so. No. But they are so pro us coming. I mean, even I think if
they
we
really
were
support you.
Both of us when we were in MIQ separately had sort of feeling, oh, just, you know, just go home. Mm. I don't think we could have with them. They were so kind of so proud of us, and they had built us up, and they kept telling their friends how wonderful we are.
That's
so
lovely.
I don't think we could have.
No, you'd be really letting
us down. Absolutely letting them down. And they really were kind of,
that's
they
brilliant.
Had us really pumped up to come here. And they all have the travel adventure as well.
Yes. So that's great. That's a good thing you've passed on. And you're living in the centre of Wellington, you just told me before. And of course, you live in the country in Ireland. Where do you live in Ireland?
Well, we live in Milltown Malba, just between Milltown Malba and Spanish Point.
Oh, beautiful. And
we haven't lived in a city. As I said, I met Billy in London at the Sense of Ireland Festival in 1980. I trained as a nurse in London.
Yeah.
But we never really lived in a city after that.
No.
Like after we got married, we went to Africa, so, and then we came back to Ireland. So I just felt we'd do things that we didn't do when we were younger.
Yes.
Live in a city together.
Yes.
Bridget had looked at places in Candale and lovely rural, or lovely, the urban areas, and we looked at them, but we knew we were only going to have one car.
Yes.
And I said, no, we'll go for a city. Go for an apartment living.
Yes.
And then when I picked Cuba, everyone said, oh my God, it's right in the heart of it. But it's amazing. You know, there are mornings I wake up and Billy's gone to work and you feel a bit, not down, but homesick.
Yes.
And then you just kind of put on your face, get up, and I walk down to the waterfront. But even the minute I leave the apartment.
Waterfront is beautiful.
The minute I leave the apartment, the eclectic people that live in Cuba Street just cheer me up.
Oh, that's
anything
great.
Goes. Everything goes.
Everything.
And you just walk down and, you know, by the time I've hit the waterfront, I'm a new person again.
That is fantastic. And how do you get out to many cultural things? Have you been doing?
We've been to the opera.
Have
we've
you?
We've been to
Good on you.
A play.
Yeah.
We've been to two plays.
Yeah, in the
opera, in the cinema.
Yeah.
The jazz.
The jazz, yeah. We went to the jazz last.
Fantastic.
The opera house last Saturday for a wonderful jazz session.
There's no excuse for you not going to things because you're...
We're so deprived.
But we can't believe how fast people buy up tickets culturally here.
Yes.
I mean, Billy said they're vultures for cultures here.
They are.
Tonight, before we came out, we were looking to get tickets to see the Fringe Film Festival.
I know, all the tickets
and
gone.
Almost everything we want to go and see is sold out.
That's right, except Saturday morning or something like that, you know? A friend was telling me yesterday she had to get Saturday morning tickets because all the evening ones have gone on the Fringe Festival. So, I think it's just a great thing for all people to do, to have an adventure to another country. And I suppose because countries were so wide open before COVID, now it's like that's just closed in on us now. And we're not too sure if that will be a possibility. But for you, there you go. It's been good on you. You've just come through all barriers and done it.
Yes. You're getting people's reactions are very varied. Some of my friends at home, some of them would look at you and saying you're mad.
Yes.
But then again, I think sometimes people are... And it's not we weren't happy at home. We were very happy at home. But if you have an adventurous streak in you...
That's right. Yeah.
And some people don't. And that's fine too.
No. Yeah.
But it's amazing the difference in the reactions for people. Some people thought, good on you, have a great time. And then other people said, you're mad.
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Well, hopefully you'll have a very, very positive year and you'll be able to, write the book.
Don't think I'm going to be quite that good.
Okay,
and tell us, at the end of the year, maybe come back in and tell us really how it has been for you. So we're coming, Douglas is indicating that we've got 3 minutes left. And because you're from Carhartt Eivin, and Bernadette suggested the
Boys of Bournemouth.
And she mentioned a group that would...
Well, it's just Tim Dennehy.
Okay.
And Sean Garvey.
I just couldn't find
Don't
it.
Worry.
So I suggested Pauline Scanlon, who's a great friend of ours.
Oh, right.
And has been out here many, many times. And
serious?
Has played on Cuba Street many times. And
really?
She's a big, big name here in New Zealand. So she plays, sings that beautifully.
Of course, sure.
But just before we go into Pauline, which we will do in a minute... Billy, just tell us Carhartt Eivin.
Yes, Carhartt Eivin, it's well out of the way.
Yeah. But you were born and raised there.
I was born in there, went to my secondary school there, played my football there.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. come from fishing stock. My grandfather was born in an island, and he was in the fishing industry. My brother still has sheep in the island.
Island?
It's called Beignish. It's just off Valentia.
Oh,
and it's a beautiful island with a lot of
sounds like a dream place.
Yeah, it, with plenty of beaches and gorgeous, and Valentia itself is special. But we're just a bit off the beaten track, but as you know, a very special place.
You have
a lot of connections down there.
I do, been down there. Any time I've been there, I never wanted to leave it. It's just beautiful.
It's hard to leave it.
It's hard to leave it. So I have to say, it's a huge thanks for coming in, and thanks so much for chatting. The wee
not
small chat, the time
not
just flies, you know, when there's a lot
great.
To talk
thank
about.
Thank you very much for asking us in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Nice.
And we'll get you again before you leave. And please. And we'll go out and say thank you to Douglas for doing the technical work. My name is Alice Paul again, and somebody else will be broadcasting next week. Keep listening. And if you need to know anything about anything happening in New Zealand, connect with Aaron, please contact the Irish Embassy. They're a great source of information on all that sort of thing. Thank you to our sponsors, and Slán agus beannacht.
Down it lies the mountain and looks down to the sea. In waking time or sleeping time, it's where I long to be. To walk again the kindly streets where I grew from boy to man, where the boys of Bournshawda who hunted for the wren. With cudgels stout we roamed about to hunt the gadrolin. We searched for birds beneath every furze, from letter to tuneen. We jumped for joy beneath the sky. Life held no threat or plan for...
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.